Last week we spoke of the element of prophecy, and prophecy leads us to, we have to answer the question, do you believe in prophecy, yes or no? Do you believe in the prophecies of the Old Testament? And if you say, yes, we believe in the prophecies of the Old Testament, then we enter into the Advent. Because we desire for those prophecies to come true. We want to see them fulfilled. And that's Advent. We were in that period of waiting. That's the Old Testament prophecies coming true in the birth of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus is born. And now we enter into a new Advent season of waiting for His return. But we have the prophecies coming true in the birth of Christ, and now we ask the question, what child is this? And that's the question for today. That's the focus of the message today. What child is this? A baby was born. So what? There have been a lot of babies born throughout history, right? You're here. You have a birthday. You celebrate that. What's so special about this one? What child is this? Well, when William Dix wrote the words, it was really in the form of a poem, and the title of the poem was The Manger Throne. And then later his poem was set to a tune, and then they changed it when it was in the form of a Christmas carol or a hymn to the words, What Child Is This? The carol is in the form of a question. Even in our hymnal, sometimes the titles of songs are in a question, but without the question mark. But when we sing this song and you look at this song in the hymnal, there is a question mark. It's a question that begs to be answered. It's a question that has to be answered. Last Sunday, in speaking about the prophecies concerning Jesus' birth, we answered some of those questions. The prophecies of Jesus. What child is this? And we're looking at the Old Testament. Born of a virgin, a baby, a servant, a shepherd, greater than David, Messiah, suffering Savior, a Nazarene. You're in a Nazarene church. That's part of the history of the name of our church, but not all of it. But in Scripture, Jesus, the prophecies are that He'd be called a Nazarene. And then we have the prophecies, and then we go to the New Testament, and we can read the truth of Scripture, we read the story, and we can say, did God keep His promises? Last week we spoke of the prophecies and the Advent season, and was Jesus born of a virgin? I want you to reply. I want you to give the answer, because I want you to acknowledge the answer in your head and your heart this morning, okay? So everyone gets... I've already put the answers up there. It's an easy test. Born of a virgin.
Yes.
A boy.
Yes.
A servant.
Yes.
A shepherd.
Yes.
Greater than David.
Yes.
Messiah.
Yes.
Suffering Savior.
Yes.
A Nazarene.
Yes.
All right. Very good. You pass. You pass. God is a great promise keeper, isn't He? And it comes to us. Then we continue looking at the New Testament. Luke gives us several other descriptions of who Jesus is. What child is this? Well, we know that He was rejected. He went back to His hometown to preach and to teach, and they went, we know you, you're just Mary and Joseph's little boy. You're a carpenter. And Jesus left. And then Jesus went to another town. Scripture tells us, Luke tells us in Luke chapter 4, that He left that town and went right to this other town. And what happened in that village? Jesus was accepted. So we have Him in just a matter of about three verses, being rejected and then accepted, His teachings. It tells us, Luke tells us, that people were amazed at what Jesus was teaching. No one had ever taught like Jesus. What child is this? He's experienced rejection. Have you ever experienced rejection in your life? Okay, Jesus has been there. All right, rejection. Have you experienced acceptance? Somebody put their arm around you, somebody give you a firm handshake and say, hey, I love you, I take care of you, you're my friend, I hope you have. Jesus has experienced both of those extremes. The Pharisees and teachers of the law believed that Jesus was a blasphemer. Why? Because he dared to forgive sins. Going back to last week, the prophecies of the Old Testament, what was Jesus to be for us? A Savior, forgiving our sins. The angel spoke that to Joseph. You're going to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law saw Jesus as a blasphemer. They saw him as a lawbreaker. I could ask the question, anybody here a lawbreaker? Have you ever had a speeding ticket or a parking ticket or a... How many fingers are you going to hold up, Mike? All right. Lawbreaker. Well, Jesus was there. He experienced that. And then Luke goes on to describe Jesus as a healer. A healer. Physical healing. Anybody here had physical healing? Yeah? Yep. I'm here today because of physical healing on several fronts. I found it interesting as I was writing this note, the thought came to me, a healer, and we think of somebody who's sick and you know, somebody prays for them, lays their hands on them, and then somebody is miraculously healed, right? And so we think of Jesus that way. But, you know, let me share something else with you. Jesus is like a doctor. Jesus prescribed medications. He prescribed people to do things to get better. He spit in the dirt, made a little ball of mud, put it on the guy's eyes. Jesus could have easily just reached out and touched the guy and said, hey, you're going to see. But no, Jesus acted as a doctor, said, here, I'm going to give you a prescription. It calls for mud on your eyes. Now I want you to go and I want you to wash it off. And when the man was obedient to the directions of the doctor Jesus, he was healed. He had faith. He followed the directions of a doctor. How often do you go to the doctor's office and you go, hey, you don't know what you're talking about? Don't think you're so smart sometimes. But anyway, Jesus Christ, healer, doctor. The lepers came to him. There were 10 of them. Jesus could have just said, be clean. Now go show yourself to the priest and he will clarify that I, Jesus, have made you clean and all is going to be well. No, Jesus didn't say any of that. He just said, go show yourself to the priest, and off they went. Again, he prescribed something for them to do to be healed. They had faith, and they went off to see the priest, and they did it. Okay, so Jesus Christ, healer, absolutely. But he also calls us to the game sometimes. He calls us and asks us to do things. Jesus is described as a changer of the weather. What child is this? Well, he can change the weather. He can speak, and things change. Jesus asked his disciples who the crowds thought he was. What child is this? What? This child has become a man. Now, what about the man? Who is this man? And how did they reply to him? They said, well, some people think that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Or a prophet who has come back to life. And then the answer to the question in Scripture has been answered many, many ways. But Luke continues describing Jesus as being a teacher. Luke chapter 11, the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew chapter 6 as well. Jesus asked by the disciples, hey, could you teach us? Would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, yes, I'll do that. Jesus was called the great rabbi. Nobody ever taught like Jesus. What child is this? He's a doctor. He's a healer. He's a teacher. When the Pharisees told Jesus to leave Jerusalem because King Herod wanted to kill him, Luke tells us that Jesus showed sorrow. He showed emotions for Jerusalem. It's Luke chapter 13. Have you ever been sorrowful? You ever had a bad day? You know, somebody thought they were kicking their dog and actually they were kicking you? That happens, right? Right? It does. That's life. Jesus was there. The human side of Jesus is shown to us throughout the gospel messages. So we see Jesus as human. But then he's also more than that. We know that he is God's Son. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, the first chapter. And John does an amazing task, prompted by the Holy Spirit, to give us a description of who Jesus is. This child, what about this child? Listen to these words. Follow along in your Bibles. 1 John chapter 1. I'll read the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. The word "Word" is capitalized. You've got that? Speaking of Jesus. Verse 3. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus, this child, the light of the world, shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not understand it. The darkness does not accept it. That's the sinful world that we live in. We're surrounded by people who say they believe in God, but yet they don't accept the light of Christ, the truth of Scripture. We live in a world that we like to compare. We like to compare things. Get involved in a conversation with somebody and tell them something that's happened in your life and they will come back with something. Often you kind of get into competition of one-upping somebody as you get into these stories of comparing things about life. Well, we live in that world, that culture. So what does the world think of Jesus Christ? How does the world answer the question, what child is this? So I did a little research. Beginning in 1927, about in there, Time magazine came up with a Man of the Year. And you'll see it. It'll come out pretty quick because we're getting near to the end of the year. Well, then they did a big study. They did a big study and they wanted to come up with the 100 most influential people of all history. Okay? That's a big task. You're going to study all of history and you're going to come up with the top 100 people. I wrote down a couple, so pay attention. Number 99 is John Calvin. He's a reformer. He's a theologian. Number 91 on the list is Pope John Paul II, another man of religion. Number 65 is St. Peter, a disciple, another person of religion. Number 48 I found interesting. He's a distant relative of mine, a German by the name of Johann Sebastian Bach. Number 34 is the Apostle Paul. Number 3 on the list is Muhammad, a great influencer of talk and conversation in Wilmer. Number 1, most influential person of all time. Now this is according to secular men and women who are doing this study. The most influential person of all is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Just think about it. What child is this? What child is this? I don't care how you want to describe him, and the Bible does an amazing job of describing him for us. But the men and women of the world outside of the realm of the church understand the influence that Jesus Christ has had upon us. Our country. As sad as it is that we're moving away from it, Jesus Christ, the truth of Scripture, God our Heavenly Father, power of the Holy Spirit, leading men and women, have made our country as great as it is. It's not the politicians. It's us. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. What child is this? That is the question. before us, and it's a question that each and every one of us have to answer. So let me just ask you a couple of questions this morning. Is he more than a baby in a manger? We have a manger on the platform. There's no baby in it. I like it empty because he's not there. Probably for the same reason I like the cross empty because he's not there. If he isn't more than a baby, let me beg of you to take him out of the crib. Let him be the man. Let him be the God figure that God wants him to be in your life. Is he more than a boy who got his parents excited when he stayed in the temple? Is he more than just a troubling kid? Oh, absolutely he is. Is he more than a man who resisted great temptations? He's a great example for us, yes, but he is more than that. Is he more than a man who turned water into wine, gave sight to the blind, healed a man who was crippled, and he brought his best friend back to life? That's Jesus. What child is this? Is he more than a man who endured great pain and suffering, died and brought back to life? The Bible, I did a little research about the pain and suffering of Jesus. And last Sunday you listened to a song that talked about that. Isaiah 53:5. By his wounds we are healed. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. Again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, speaks of the suffering of Christ and what that has meant to my spiritual walk today. And I trust and I believe that it does the same for you. Well, God sent his Son to do that and to be that for you. Individually, he did it for each and every one of us. The purpose for sending us a child has many small answers. But the answer to the question, what child is this, is given to us in Luke chapter 2. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes, sandals of the people that we're going to be reading about. Listen to these words. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading with verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, and he was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said to him about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts and many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna saw Jesus Christ and they answered the question, what child is this? It's the salvation of Israel. It's the salvation of all Gentiles. It's your salvation. It's my salvation. Who is Jesus Christ? The disciples were asked that question, and Jesus said, well, who do people say that I am? And, you're Elijah. You're one of the prophets. But then Jesus gets real personal, and he goes, now, what about you? You. Who am I to you? What child is this? I'm a man now, but what about me? Who am I to you? Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ of God. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Wow. I ask you, what do you say? What's your answer to the question? More than being an influential person in history, Jesus Christ prophesied, lived, died to be your Savior. He came to be our Savior, your Savior, my Savior. Prophecies, yes. Advent, yes. Now the birth of Christ has happened. The prophecies have come true. That first Advent is closed. Jesus is here. Now what do you do with Him? What do you do with Him? God builds evidences of His love for us through His plan of salvation. I will say to you that God wants us to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to believe in the manger. He wants us to believe in the cross. He wants us to believe that He raised His Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And God wants us to believe that Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is more than a baby in a manger. It began with prophecies in the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ is more than a baby in a manger. We're going to close the service with a song. The words will be on the screen. I'm going to ask you to participate in this. On past Sundays, I ask if anyone's here that you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would come and we would pray in front. I'm going to do that a little different today. And I don't mean this to be uncomfortable for anybody, but I do believe that it's important that we... What Jesus said, if you do not confess me before the world, I'm not going to confess you before the Father, okay? So I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If He isn't your Lord and Savior, this isn't for you, other than I want you to come and talk to me because I want Him to be your Lord and Savior, okay? But as the song is being played, as the words come up on the screen, and as the message of the song speaks to your heart and your soul, I want you to come and stand with me. And we're going to be a little prayer group this morning. Believers in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Is He more than a baby in a manger? As nice as that is, as cute as that is, He's more than that. He's more than that. The song is going to speak to the element of the cross. But as the song and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I invite you to come and join me at the altar this morning.
The cross, it's about my sin, it's It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we can be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have a life someday. It's about the cross. Just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about the precious blood.
What a celebration you have planned for us. It is about the manger. That's where it began. And then in the gospel messages, we get to read of the story of what child is this who grew up to be a great teacher, my Savior. It is about the cross. It's about the resurrection. It's about the ascension. It's all of those elements pulled together by you, our Heavenly Father. What an amazing love story you have given to us, and the gift of your child, your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this gift. It's a gift that you've given to us not to hold on to. Oh yeah, we hold on to it. But yet we are to go out and we are to share the love of Christ with those people that we encounter in our walk. Life today, life tomorrow. Let us share the story of Christmas. Story of Christ in our life. You are an amazing, amazing, loving Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for your patience with us. Thank you for the promises that you'll never leave us. You're always there. Father, we give you great praise today. Thank you for Christ. Amen. Go and be a blessing to someone today, will you?